And I want to thank the Lord for you setting down, whether by yourself or with your family, and worshiping. For the last, again, the first week, our schedule didn't allow us. That's a long story that we'll probably share when we're back together. But for the last 3 weeks, the family, the Kingston Five, have sat down and watched this message. And last week, of course, we watched on the Facebook Live approach with Mandy and then the message. And it's been tremendous. And we praise God. And again, thanks to all those folks that helped us out with our testimonies last week. So we're just going to dive in. And you know me, if you've been able to attend Bethel, and if you're joining us here via the internet, we're just thrilled to have you. But so you can't know if you haven't been attending Bethel. I really bad try to make people laugh. And usually it has to do with something funny or painful that has happened to Brother Ben. And we had one of those incidents. I don't know if you can tell, but it got me a nice little, I don't know if it'll be a scar or not, but I've got a wound going on here. And it started, this actual cut happened Tuesday morning, but Monday evening is really when it all culminated. You know, in an effort to be self-sustaining and the such, and we've done this before, but we're getting back into chickens a little bit and the such. And so I was building a brooder. If you know my carpenter skills, which I have none, you know, kind of looks like a brooder, but nonetheless. So I got to the point of the doors on either end, and I had fasteners, and I was putting those fasteners on. Well, I discovered that the door, as it flipped up on the hinges, that it would stay in place for a while. But it wouldn't stay in place if I sat there and messed with it. But so far, I hadn't hurt myself. But in this particular case, I got so wrapped up in putting this fastener on, I just threw it up, held it safe, and then let my hand off of it and went to work. Tony is literally within arm's reach of me. I haven't asked him to do anything. Please understand that he's not in trouble. This was all an accident, but he was standing right there. And he's on his phone. Again, fine. Hadn't asked him to stay off of it. He did anything that I asked him to do. But he was standing right there on his phone. And all of a sudden, I'm absolutely concentrating on trying to get this, hold these little screws and get my screw gun in and get the fastener attached to the brooder. And all of a sudden, it was the weirdest experience because I didn't know what happened. All I knew is that a extremely loud noise happened somewhere behind my head. And then finally the pain receptors caught up and it's telling me that I just almost lost my head because this thing came down. Kabam! Tony's on his phone. And he looks up and goes, "Are you all right?" Now, we have something at the Kingston House that we call the run rule. And you see, on no level have my children been physically abused or anything like that. But when Dad gets hurt, it's best to just go ahead and give him some space. So I call it the run rule. And if I need them to exercise it, I'll go, "Run!" And they'll run, and everything's cool. And so I am sitting there struggling with this fact that this framed door with metal on it, it's not too heavy, but heavy enough to ring my bell. And it's just hit me in the back of the head. And Tony's like, "You okay?" "I don't want any questions right now. Get out of my space." So I said, "Run." He ran. You know, it's amazing how many things can go through your head all at the same time in a matter of a millisecond. First thing that went through my head was, what was that noise? The second thing that went through my head was, oh, that hurt. The third thing that went through my head was, why did Tony catch that door? The fourth thing that went through my head was, how many years in prison can you get for a crime of passion? That's a joke. But I'm telling you, oh my gosh, it hurt. It hurt. And then, it's just me in that garage with that brooder. I got a headache now. I'm on my knees with that screw gun trying to determine, is my head still attached? Oh my goodness. And then it hit me. I started laughing. I just started laughing. Because the door is still resting on my head. I haven't even lifted it off. Tony didn't lift it off. I'm sitting there with this door on my head. If there had been any metal attached, it would have taken my head off type thing. I'm laughing. I'm laughing at myself. I'm laughing at my not-so-smartness. Because, you see, this comes in the next day. The next day I go in there, put it up. I'm standing up this time. Bam. Oh, my God. Blood and everything else. I walk in. Don's like, oh, my gosh, what'd you do? Stupid door. Got me again. So, you know, I can't speak for you, but I laugh when other people hurt themselves. So if you're that way, you know, hopefully this is a little humorous to you and the such. But and I hope you can take some humor. And maybe you've had an experience, you know, if you're together today with your family, you're already laughing at dad when he did something. You're laughing at mom, or the mom and dad are laughing at you because something happened. So that brings us to the 11th commandment. Did you know that there's an 11th commandment in Scripture? And I just looked down at the time. That took 8 minutes to tell. Wow. All right, there's an 11th commandment. John chapter 13, verse 34. And this is what I want you to do for me, if you will. I want you to, if you hit pause, go ahead and get up right now. But you either need your phone or you need a pen and paper and the such, because I'm asking you to do a little evaluation today. I'm asking you, as we go through, these commands, I'm asking you to ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind somebody that maybe you need to do these things towards, or someone that you haven't maybe done these things towards that you need to. We're in COVID-19 isolation. Like never before, we need to be checking on one another. Our staff here at the church are doing that. Several of you got texts or call from me last week. Several of you have gotten texts or calls from Stacy and Brad, and we're going to keep doing that because it's important. You're getting texts and calls from your deacons. You're getting texts and calls from your Sunday school teachers. Why? It's important. But watch this. What the leaders do in moderation, the followers do in excess. And so we need everybody that claims Bethel Baptist Church as their house of worship. We need you to check on one another. We need you to care for one another. Because you see, that is the 11th commandment. It's never stated as that in Scripture. But when you look at John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Now you need to know, to finish up that story, Tony came and checked on me. He did. Because he knew, again, it was more of a joke than anything for him to run. But he knew that I was hurt. And he came back and checked on me. And we kept working, and we laughed, and we had a good time. But guys, it's extremely important that we care one for another. So I just want to go through the one another verses in the New Testament. Can you imagine sitting at Bethel Baptist Church 8:20 or 10:45 and Brother Ben saying, I've got 35 points to my message. The depression that you would get into. But here's the cool thing. I'm just going to state these. And I may say a phrase or sentence or two about each one. That's why I want you to have the pen or paper or the phone. I would like for you to take down these addresses so that you can look at them later. But certainly, again, if a name is brought to you that you need to exercise this particular command towards, I think it's important. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for the ability to still reach one another and teach one another. And I ask you to open our hearts and minds to you and to each other, most of all to your word. And I pray that you would change us to look more like you as a result of this message. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Now, John 13:34 says this, love one another. And that was the passage that we just read, love one another. Well, how's that a one another command? Unconditionally. That's the particular word used there, agape. Agape one another. Unconditionally love one another. Well, Brother Ben, you don't know what that person did to me. No, and the response to that is incorrect, and we don't know what Jesus did on the cross to forgive those sins. You and I've got people's faces going through my mind right now that you and I are to love unconditionally each other. At Bethel Baptist Church, we are to unconditionally love one another. Think about this. The Bethel approach. Know your name, live your name. Bethel, a personal love relationship with Christ. Missionary, a self-support missionary to Franklin County. Baptist, that word means something. The distinctives, the word of God. Do we know what it means to be a believer in Christ? Church, you and I have a personal responsibility for one another. Love one another. Number two, Romans 12:5. Depend on one another. You and I should be able to depend upon one another. I cannot tell you how many people have personally reached out to me. You need to be able to say, hey, there's some folks that have reached out to me in this time. You also need to be able to say, hey, I have reached out to so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so because we are, as church members, we should be able to depend on one another. What about Romans 12:10? Be devoted to one another. Romans 12:10. Be devoted. That word devoted, that goes beyond just depend on one another. Be devoted. I wrote this down in the notes. Jesus' blood is thicker than all others. And as the family of God, we are going to live forever. Your connection through Christ's family is deeper. It is more significant than your blood connection to your own family here on this planet. John 13:4. Wash one another's feet. Here it is. Serve one another. Are you and I serving one another's needs? Now, my youngest son struggles with this because he always likes to turn this around when we show him something that he needs to be doing. He'll say, a need seen is an assignment given. And yes, a need seen is an assignment given, but not when it's your daily chore. But nonetheless, so again, John 13:4, wash one another's feet. In the New Testament, the washing of the feet was not a symbolic spiritual thing. It was a physical need that people had. They walked in sandals. And when they came to someone's house, they had a need. They didn't want their feet to stink. So someone needed to wash their feet. And so you're serving others' needs. Romans 12:15. rejoice with one another. Invest in each other. Rejoice. I can't speak for you, but it's been a struggle, especially in those early college years, to have the same excitement about someone else's victory that they had. But as Christians, we should rejoice with one another. Romans 12, 15, weep with one another. Empathize. This is powerful. Allow their hurt to hurt you. I had the very unfortunate privilege of officiating a young girl's funeral. This daughter was 7 hours and 59 minutes old when she passed away. And before each funeral, I ask God to help me to empathize. Let their hurt hurt you. Romans 12, 16. Boy, I wonder if anybody's names will come to your mind on this one. Live in harmony with one another. Live in harmony with one another. Now, that requires effort. This is what I wrote down as a way to apply this. Think it through until it makes sense. If you've got an issue with someone that's causing disharmony, sit down and think it through until it makes sense. And one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to come around to their way of thinking, the Holy Spirit's going to help you, or the Holy Spirit's going to give you a winning argument to help them come to your way of thinking. Possibly a third one. The Holy Spirit's going to allow you to die to your way of thinking and just meet them where they're at. Romans 14, 13, do not judge one another. Now, boy, we could do a series out of this, because yes, you can judge. You can, as long as you're willing to be judged with the same measuring stick. But watch this. You can only judge when you have all the facts and figures. Think about that. How often do we have that? Do not judge one another. This is where the golden rule comes in. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Romans 12, 15 and or 1 Corinthians 12, 26. Romans 12, 15 and or 1 Corinthians 12, 26. Receive one another. Receive one another. Guys, we're family. We are family in Christ. And you and I don't have a right to reject one another. Colossians 3:16, admonish one another. Love one another enough to wound them. Sometimes you have to set a friend, a loved one, a church member, a fellow worshiper down and say, I see this. Help me understand it. Or allow me to show you where this is out of bounds, so we can correct it. Admonish one another. Romans 16, 16. Greet one another. Now, I've got under here, hugs and kisses, handshakes all around. Well, not in COVID-19. I have done a lot of the elbow thing recently. A lot of, hey, how you doing? And so, you know, we'll adapt. We will adjust. But still, we are to greet one another. 1 Corinthians 11, 33. Wait for one another. Now, this is in the context of the Lord's Supper. And certainly in the Lord's Supper, you and I are to wait, tarry one for another. 1 Corinthians 12, 25, care for one another. You know, in these words, it's so important that we dive into these words and really look at the depth. Care for one another. People do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. And then Galatians 5:13, we've hit on this a little bit, and there's certainly some overlap here. Serve one another. I love this. Freedom is not the ability to do what you want, but what you ought. And we need to serve one another. We don't always want to do that. But Galatians 5:13, if we want to show our love to one another, we've got to serve one another. Again, I can't tell you all the people that have done this for me. I hope and pray I'm doing the same for those in my life that I am to do that for. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another. Kind. And so you're not just going to check on them with a huff and a gruff. You're going to be kind to one another. Forgive one another. Ephesians 4:32, Colossians 3:13. Ephesians 4:32, Colossians 3:13. Forgive one another. And you all know the definition from Dr. Hooks on forgiving, restoring them to the same level of relationship and fellowship that they had before the offense. I know that that brings up a lot of questions. I know that that doesn't necessarily apply to every situation, depending, if you will, on the offense. This is a general approach. True forgiveness restores someone to the same level of fellowship that they had before the offense. Now watch this. Is that not what we want from Christ? When you sin, when you betray Christ, do you not want him? Do we not even expect it? Do we not take it for granted if we're not careful? We expect him to restore us to the same level of fellowship and relationship that we had before the offense. Yes, we do. And as a general rule, that is what Christ expects from us. Ephesians 4:32, be compassionate toward one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another. Be an energy giver. Folks, man, I want you to know that you can become a great friend at this time of this COVID isolation if you will just be an energy giver. Hey, man, how you doing? Good to see you. And the such, people need that right now. Just start reading the articles on CNN and MSNBC and Fox and The Blaze and Drudge. We are getting at each other's throat in this nation if we're not careful. This world, this nation needs to see the church of God loving one another. Be an energy giver. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another. We need to be humble. We need to start admitting our faults to one another. We need to strengthen one another. Ephesians 4:2, Colossians 3:13, bear with one another. Need to be patient. Get under the load. I love that. Get under the load. Help each other. Hebrews 10:24. Now, let me just stop just for a second. Are any names coming up? Write them down, please. Put them in your phone. You need to check with those folks this week. Hebrews 10:24. Stimulate love in one another. Put some thought into it. Stimulate love in one another. 1 Peter 4:9, offer hospitality to one another. Now, I've got as a note here, get in each other's homes. No, that's not practical right now, but there will come a time again. And you think about it, most of our families, if you got with another family, you're not going to be over that 10 number. With that said, I'm not telling you to start going around to people's houses as much as there will come a time that that is appropriate again. Offer hospitality to one another. 1 Peter 4:9. 1 Peter 4:10. Minister spiritual gifts to one another. Look for ways to use your spiritual gift. 1 Peter 5:5. Be clothed in humility toward one another. This is a verse to go with that verse. A soft answer turns away wrath. James 4:11, don't slander one another. Folks, we need to be really slow to just basically refuse to talk bad about one another. Remember our Bethel rule. If you're fixing to say something negative about someone and they're not present, don't say it. So if someone's name comes up, and the conversation is not positive, unless you're willing to call them and ask them to come over and be a part of the conversation, you need to stop, please. James 5:9, don't grumble against one another. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another. I think that's pretty straightforward. James 5:16, pray for one another. 1 John 1:7, fellowship with one another. 1 Corinthians 4:6, don't be puffed up against one another. Galatians 6:2, carry one another's burdens. Romans 12:10, honor one another. Romans 15:14, instruct one another. Romans 12:10, prefer one another. And that's over you. Prefer them over yourself. Lastly, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, comfort one another. I have no clue what the Holy Spirit has said to you in this time. I've been watching this clock go up each week. Started, I think, with 22 minutes. Last week, I think, was 28 minutes, and this week's going to be in that range. I love you, Bethel. I miss you. The Holy Spirit keeps you on my mind. He brings your names to my heart. I pray for you. I ask you to do the same for me. I'm a phone call away, a text away. Please remember our sick. And I'm just praying that God will bring revival in the United States of America through this. Remember, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. That you are my disciples, if you show love one to another. May the Lord bless you. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you to now bless our families as we go through our day today. Help us to put these into play as you bring someone's name to heart and mind. We ask all these things in your Son's holy and precious name.